You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that is coming up on Tuesday the 5th of March. We've got three meetings across the day. We're jumping at Newcastle and Exeter in the afternoon. And we've also got all-weather action coming up at Wolverhampton in the evening. It all gets underway at 1:50 on Racing Radio. So make sure you join the team in the studio for all the day's action. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, and I'm joined by Gary Capewell. Hello, Gary, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Join yourself?
Yes, good. Good to have you with us on the podcast once again. We'll get your selections for Tuesday in a minute.
Okay.
But we're going to start off with what we do every week on the Tuesday Racing Podcast, obviously recorded on a Monday, and we take a look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post. We look at the questions that the trade paper is posing after the weekend, and with the big action coming up at Cheltenham as well, of course, and this weekend. So we start off with a question about Gold Cup hopeful Presenting Percy. Does Presenting Percy's lack of a race over fences put you off him?
No, in a word.
Wrong answer.
I know a lot has been made of this, and I think it was in the front page of the Racing Post yesterday that no Gold Cup winner since 1929 has won the Gold Cup without a start over fences that season. But, I mean, realistically, how many have tried? Again, I'm not 100% sure how many have, but how many with the same profile as Presenting Percy and have tried? I mean,
but is there a reason they haven't tried? Because it'd be too difficult?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you go back and look at his prep for the for the RSA. Didn't you run over hurdles before the RSA chase last year?
Against our Duke, was that?
That was probably over fences, actually. Yeah. It was. But you only have to go back and look at the horse's run over hurdles at Goram Park the other day. Against race-fit horses, he won by, a length and a quarter? Basically idling, for me, the whole way up the home straight. And he had that race won with a long, long way to go, and his jumping. I mean, you go back and watch the RSA chase last year. His jumping was absolutely immaculate. He jumped and travelled so well through that race. I've never seen the RSA one. It's usually a bruising race, and I've never seen that race won in such easy fashion before. The race was won a long, long way from home, and the way that the race is going to be run this year in the Gold Cup, with the likely pace angles in the race, David Russell's going to be able to just smuggle him along the inside or wherever he wants to be, because provided the trainer gets him right for the day, and we know that he's excellent at doing that. You just have to look at his previous Cheltenham record, this horse. He's bound to be tuned for the minute, and I think he's just going to get the race completely run to suit him. I think people are maybe trying to make too much of the fact that he's not run over fences. He'll have done plenty of schooling. I think he's been to Galway to do a bit of schooling as well.
They turned the fences round from a Galway, so it'd be more like Cheltenham.
Yes, well, there you go.
But that said, I just think he's 4-1 versus here at William Hill at the moment. Personally, I think it's a ridiculous price. It's the same price that Might Bite was for the Gold Cup this time last year. Mm. Now, I'm a little bit of a Might Bite fanboy, and obviously he didn't end up winning.
Yep.
But he'd already won the King George that season.
He had, but he'd never won at Cheltenham, I don't think. He'd won the RSA, hadn't he?
In very dramatic style.
He had, but you look at this horse's record at Cheltenham, and he's won the Potemps, he won the RSA, obviously, last year. And he's just literally, in my opinion, just done nothing wrong for the past two or three seasons. And the way he jumps is, he's very quick at he's very clever how he jumps as well. You just look how he was very quick and economical over those, even his hurdles. He just measures his fences so well. So he's got a trainer who knows how to get a horse ready for the day, and he's got a rider who knows how to win the Gold Cup. I can understand why people are being put off a little bit personally, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. Would I back him at his current price, though? Possibly not. I want to see what the ground's going to be like. But even still, it wouldn't put me off backing him just because of the fact that he hasn't had a run. It's more to do with the price.
Right, we could sit here and talk about the Gold Cup probably all afternoon, but
yep.
Time is against us, so we'll move on to the next question. Who's your fancy for the Arkle in the wake of the Rhys Borg's absence?
Well, I think the race has got a much more open look to it now, hasn't it? Obviously, it's disappointing that the Rhys Borg doesn't make the gig. Obviously, you know, Glenn Forser beat Kalashnikov last time out, but I'm actually not going to hold that too much against Kalashnikov, because if you look at his record left-handed compared to right-handed, I mean, Kalashnikov's never won right-handed for a start. Okay, he's only ran three times right-handed, to be fair. He's not been beaten very often in his career, full stop. But he's yet to win that way around. I think he's a 10-time... I mean, he got beat by Dynamite Dollars at Kempton the start before that. I just think coming back here to Cheltenham, going back this way around left-handed, for a horse who, let's face it, you know, he's never been out of the first two in all of his, what, 10, 11 starts. He's got Cheltenham form. He was obviously second in the Supreme Novices Hurdle last year. And I think at 10-1, 12-1 with us here at William Hill, I think he's the best value in the race, personally, myself. You do have to forgive that run, obviously, behind Glenn Forser last time out. But I'm not going to be completely dismayed by that. Coming back this way, with ground more likely to suit. He doesn't mind soft ground, in fairness, either, does he? And it's those two victories at Warwick and Plumpton, particularly the Plumpton one, that sticks in my mind. The way that he jumped through that race, apart from one mistake when he got down to the bottom of the hill, I think it was the third last. At 12-1, he's the pick for me. I can understand why Lawler's quite popular as well. Obviously, he's a Grade 1 winner and hasn't been seen since disappointing at Sandown in the Henry VIII, I think it was. But again, coming back this way around is the way that he wants to go for me. Left-handed, again, I know he's won right-handed, but all his peak performances have come going the other way around a couple of times at Aintree, and obviously here on his chasing debut. So I wouldn't be ruling him out, but at the current odds, I think Kalashnikov is a huge price at 12-1.
What about the Stayers Hurdle? The racing press say, has Penn Hill's injury gifted the Stayers Hurdle to Paisley Park?
I don't think it's been gifted. I think that's probably the wrong way of phrasing it.
It's been made a lot easier.
It has been made a lot easier without Penn Hill's participation. That is for sure. I mean, I remember backing this horse for the Albert Bartlett Hurdle last year when he was pretty disappointing, really. He finished 13th on that occasion, but this season, he's just gone, you know, from strength to strength. Obviously, winning that race at Aintree earlier on in the season, then following that up in dramatic style at Haydock when carrying a big weight to win. And then he's obviously won graded hurdles on his last two starts. You know, one at Ascot, where he won very comfortably, and one at Cheltenham over the same course and distance that the World Hurdles run over, or the Stayers Hurdle, rather, I should say, is run over. And you know, you're scratching around trying to find something that will be solid against him. The only one that I can see, because this is obviously he's an improving horse, Paisley Park, the only horse that has a bit more untapped potential over this distance for me, but he's 11 now, is Faheen, who obviously won the Grade 1 beating Penn Hill at Punchestown. Obviously, he made all that day. You do just wonder whether he'll get that same sort of luxury in a World Hurdle with the likes of Sam Spinner, as Bobby would say if he was as he was here, and there's maybe one or two others that might want to force the pace. There's a horse that I've actually backed in this race, and I'm almost resigned to the fact that I don't think he's the same horse this time this year. Or hasn't quite seemed it, but given his Cheltenham record, and he made a bad mistake there last time, which was the first time he's failed to hit the frame. I still think Holstone might have an each way chance in the race, but he's got very little chance of reversing that form with Paisley Park based on that effort in the Cleve Hurdle.
Okay, what about the handicaps? We've waited to publish for the handicaps. Give us a couple of fancies.
Oh, there's a couple. Mr. Whittaker is a horse that I backed last year when he huge bearing after timing, but when he won the Close Brothers handicap chase on the opening day, I see he's got a few entries. I think his most likely port of call will probably be the Ultima handicap chase on the opening day, the former William Hill handicap chase, of course.
Well, Gary, get the messages in.
Exactly. He's going up in trip, but I think that'll actually help him. He certainly wasn't stopping at the end of the Close Brothers last year. He was fourth. He was sent off favourite, of course, at the open meeting for the big race there. It was a little maybe disappointing, but and then was fourth in that race at Ascot the other day. And I'm not going to knock him too much for that. That was a race that was run, you know, surname just blitzed the whole field, and he never really managed to land a blow. But I think he's one definitely to be of interest. And the other one is in the Fred Winter hurdle. I think everybody's really spotted this particular horse, the Joseph O'Brien trained runner at Band of Outlaws, who, you know, Joseph O'Brien's got a very strong hand in the juvenile hurdle department. And this is a horse who's obviously won his last two starts, both of those, one of those victories coming at Limerick over the Christmas period, and then last time out when he won at Naas very, very impressively. I think a stronger run race will suit this horse, who was a fair horse, or was okay on the flat. He was rated 90-odd on the flat at one stage. It's the ideal sort of profile for a race such as this, a classy flat horse with that turn of foot, with a strong gallop to aim at, which will hopefully suit him down to the ground.
Okay, well, we're low on time, so we'll forget about last Saturday. What about this Saturday in the Imperial Cup?
Well, Monsieur Lecoq is a horse that I very much like. He's a horse that I saw when he ran, I think it was his seasonal debut. It might have been his racecourse debut, actually, when he ran at Uttoxeter earlier on in the season. I think he's probably favoured, actually, for the Imperial Cup. It was his first run since he ran at Fontainebleau, actually, back in February of last year. But I've followed him since then. Obviously, he's won a couple of times. He won at Force Last, and he was very impressive when winning at Sandown on his over the course and distance on his most recent outing. He was due to run at Newbury, the meeting that got abandoned, and he didn't run in the rearranged race. He's been kept fresh for this. There's a bit of rain going to be in the ground, which will suit him down to the ground as well. He's not going to have too much of a big weight, provided Call Me Lord runs, or the weights will go up. Obviously, Call Me Lord doesn't run, but even still, this is a race that looks tailor-made for him. He ideally just wants a little bit further, but a strongly run 2 miles on a stiff track will suit him down to the ground. So Monsieur Lecoq will be the antipost pick for the Imperial Cup.
And what about your two selections for tomorrow?
Yeah, a couple of ones to look at tomorrow. They come up at Newcastle and Exeter, respectively. We'll begin at Newcastle in the 3:30, one of their feature races on the card. It's a mare's handicap chase to qualify for the mare's staying chase final. Sparkling River is a very interesting horse. This is a horse who I saw win at Uttoxeter last year. It hasn't really been the same since, but he does tend to come good around about this sort of time of year, and he won't mind any digging the ground up at Newcastle, albeit it is still quite on the quickish sort of side there. But this doesn't look that strong a race, if I'm perfectly honest, and the horse for me to beat is Song Sar. Now, this is a horse who won at Kempton on her penultimate outing, winning quite comfortably. Don't think she really got home at Warwick over slightly further last time out, over 3 miles. Top weight to shoulder, but Noel George is taking a very handy £7 off the horse's back as well, and he also rode her when she won at Kempton on her penultimate outing. So Song Sar is the pick in the 3:30. And then we're going to go 45 minutes later to Exeter for a novices handicap chase. Now, a big field for this, 12 of them. Again, it's over a staying trip of 3 miles. Spring Wolf is a horse who's been in good form for Robert Walford. He was a winner here at Exeter over just shy of 2.5 miles back on New Year's Day, and he then followed that up at Taunton last time out. He's got a £6 higher mark to try and defy for that. I think Lithic is becoming quite well treated. He finished second. He talked at the last time out, was only beaten a length by Cesar A. Rosalie. I think that form looks fairly solid as well. But the horse that I'm going to go for here is a horse who's actually been off the track a while, in the shape of Indian Brave. Now, this is a horse who's making his chasing debut. He won a maiden hurdle at Uttoxeter when he was last seen back in April of 2017. So he's been off the track nearly 2 years. But he's got a nice pedigree for going over fences. And I'm sure that he might improve a little bit for the run. But I like the angle of some of these horses going straight into handicaps over fences, making their handicap debuts, rather I should say, on their chasing debuts, because quite a lot of them can look very, very well treated. Hopefully this is one. So Indian Brave is the other selection, and that goes in the 4:15 race at Exeter.
Gary, thanks for your selections. Thanks for your thoughts, as always. Make sure that you join us. I'm not sure. Will you be joining us tomorrow for
Racing? I am working elsewhere. But on my breaks, I will definitely be listening in.
It's a 1:50 start. Join us then. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the podcast. Gary, thanks for being with us today.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.